Our final scripture reading this morning comes from both Romans and then from Hebrews. You might be wondering, why are we having so many scripture readings this morning? Well, we're having so many scripture readings because there are so many places in the Bible that talk about hospitality. In fact, this is really only the tip of the iceberg. We could go over and over and over again at all the many different stories in which Jesus reached out and shared hospitality with others in the Old Testament, where hospitality was so important. But for now, let us hear first from Hebrews 13 and then from Romans chapter 12. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. Keep on loving each other as brothers and sisters. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels unaware. Here ends the reading of God's holy word. Well, all of this talk about radical hospitality took me back about 20 years ago when Lou went back to graduate school in Iowa. We packed up all of our belongings, our five-year-old and our two-year-old, and headed clear over to eastern Iowa near Iowa City. The day that we were unpacking our belongings and moving into our house was, needless to say, a little bit stressful. And our house was totally full of boxes, which made it a little difficult to keep track of a two-year-old who was about the size of some of those boxes. So I guess it shouldn't surprise me that in the midst of getting all involved in unpacking boxes, that Benjamin would slip out unnoticed. It was a new place, and he was curious to find out what all was in this new place. The next thing I knew, I looked up to see him walking across the living room, dragging a cat under each arm. These poor cats looked like they were begging for mercy as their back ends just barely hung above the ground as he carried them up under his forearms. He was so excited, grinning from ear to ear. He says, "Mom, look, these two cats found out that we were moving in and they've come to live with us." What I know about Benjamin is, if I would have given him half a chance, those cats would have had the best tuna fish in the house and a home, a new home, right beside his bed in Nothing Flat. He was practicing radical hospitality. The hospitality part, of course, was that he would have done anything for those cats to make them feel at home, never to want to leave again. The radical part was that I am absolutely certain the cats did not ask for the invitation before he gave it. I am reminded of Peter Cartwright, who was a Methodist circuit rider back in the 1800s. He was 6 feet tall, which in the 1800s was huge, had flaming red hair. He would ride his horse from town to town. And of course, in pioneer towns, usually the only place to eat was in the saloon. So he would go in the saloon, he would get something to eat, he would strike up a conversation with some of the cowboys, many of which were three sheets to the wind, and he had a habit of evangelizing those drunken cowboys by dragging them out of the saloon over to the horse trough and baptizing them until they were convinced they wanted to be followers of Jesus Christ. True story. However, here's the warning. Do not try these things at home. Forcing people into loving Jesus Christ is not an effective way of making disciples. We're talking about radical hospitality here. Now, when we first usually think about hospitality, what we think about is, well, if there's ever a new person, whenever there is a new person who walks through the door, we want to be sure that they are greeted warmly, genuinely. We welcome them. We take an interest in them. And we make them feel like part of the family. That's usually what we think about with hospitality. But today, I want to take that another step. I want us to think about radical hospitality. And that means that we don't wait for someone to decide that they want to come to us. Radical hospitality involves a way of Christians living in the world so that we are the ones who initiate the invitation. So that as we look at the world around us and the people who are in our sphere of influence, the first thing we recognize, they have the same needs that we do. They have a need to know that they are loved unconditionally. They have the need to have a community of people who will love and support them and laugh with them and be there whenever there is need. They have the same need that we do to have light hearts. And by light hearts, I mean to learn how to practice forgiveness, learn how to practice letting go, so that we don't get embroiled in this continual saga of anger and violence and divisiveness that is so contagious and so alive in our world. They have the same need that we do to use their lives in ways that make a positive, significant difference in the world, both within their own, within their community and within the global world. To know that their lives have a purpose, and it's a greater purpose than just simply serving themselves. Everyone that we know has the same needs that we do. And everyone that we know, including us, have needs that aren't being met. We have a gift, and that gift is the love of Jesus Christ and the redemptive power that the love of Jesus Christ brings. When Jesus was ready to be raised for the last time and to go into heaven, he says to his disciples, go out and make disciples of all the world and baptize them in my name. What Jesus was saying to us and what Jesus was saying to his disciples is, you have a gift to meet the needs of the people who are in your life and who you will encounter in the world. Do not be selfish with the gift. It was given to you in order that you would give it to someone else. I know it's like that, the movie about paying it forward, about recognizing that all that we have been given by God and the blessings and the grace and the love and forgiveness and everything that Jesus came to make real in our lives is a gift that's intended to be paid forward. And that means that we can't wait for other people to decide that they want to initiate the conversation, that they want to come to us, but that we've got to have that kind of radical hospitality that Benjamin had about going out and finding those cats that he was absolutely sure wanted to be a part of our family. Maybe in a kinder, gentler way. But with that sense, with that passion about what it is to be in love with God. While we may not want to take from those stories the techniques that they used, we do take from them the passion. The passion to share that which is most important in our lives, which we can testify to has made all the difference. Now, when I was in college, there were a group of people who used to go and they'd knock on your door, and your dorm door, and when you answered the door, they would say, "Hi, we're so-and-so, and we're so-and-so, and we've come to find out whether or not you've been saved." I don't recommend that either. But I want to tell you why. Because what we have in our toolbox, so to speak, of faith is much greater than a kind of confrontational evangelism that may turn people away from Christianity as quickly as it turns people forward. What we are about is identifying and recognizing, what do people need? And what people may need is food on their table. What they may initially need is someone who will listen to them through the trials of their life. What they may need may not initially be someone sitting down to that with them and saying, "Well, have I got a deal for you?" Because what we all need most of all are people who will embrace the love of Jesus Christ, who every single day went out with his eyes open and antenna up, looking and listening for the hearts of other human beings. That's the place that we begin. That's where radical hospitality begins. Because part of being radical is recognizing that relationships come first. That in a world where we text and we tweet and we email and we fax, to have another human being believe that you are worthy of their time and full attention is a sacred gift, and is one that in some people's lives doesn't come around very often. We're on our last chapter of the five practices of fruitful congregations. I just wanted to read to you a paragraph that Bishop Snazy talked, when Bishop Snazy talks about radical hospitality. He says, "Vibrant, fruitful, growing congregations practice radical hospitality. Out of genuine love for Christ, for others, they take the initiative to invite, to welcome, to include, and to support newcomers and help them grow in faith as they become a part of the body of Christ. So far, not so radical." But then he says this: "Their members focus on those outside their congregation with as much passion as they attend to the nurture and growth of those who already belong to the family of faith, and apply their utmost creativity, energy, and effectiveness to the task." One of the things that I think the church has failed in the last 25, 30 years is hearing that last sentence, of recognizing that if we are really to share the love of Christ with other people, it has to be done creatively, effectively, with a heart that asks the question, "What do you need? How can I share God's love with you?" And not with some kind of a bulldozer effect that says, "The only way that you're going to become a Christian is to fit in this box that I just drew." My goodness, I look around at this congregation and I see very few of us who would all fit in the same box. We are a diverse group of people. Sometimes I wish we were even more diverse. Color-wise, we're pretty bland. But we will get there. God has placed within each of us such a wealth of gifts. What we need now is to take that wealth of gifts and put them on our hearts and recognize that all that we have been given is all that we have been given to give away. and with our hearts as leaders, we too will know the blessings of the radical hospitality that is not only a spiritual gift to those to whom we reach, but to us as well, as our faith grows and deepens and our joy is complete as we see what Christ can do through us in the lives of others. Would you join with me in a word of prayer? O God of amazing love, who couldn't walk down a street but had to stop to bring Lazarus down from the tree to save the woman about to be stoned, to give food to the hungry, to heal the lepers, who constantly saw your people in need of God's love and God's redemption. Give us eyes to see as you see, that we might live in your love and share in your joy. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.